Father, I just truly do thank you for each and every face I see sitting here tonight, because in that face is your Son, Jesus. And Father God, each and every one of them want all that you have for you, for them. And I'm asking right now, God, that you continue the works that you've been doing for quite some time now. Make us strong towers, Father God, that the enemy can't bend in any way, shape, or form. And bring us, Father God, to the height of your glory. And God, tonight, let us hear what thus saith the Lord, and let us take it into our spirit, man. Then let us apply it to our lives. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of sickness in the body of Christ. And just hold, you look around you and you see the people not here. Just hold them up in prayer. The devil is working really hard at trying to take out God's chosen, elect. Tonight, this is really something that somebody else saw, but God wanted me to give it, so I'm going to give this to you. It's about an angel. We all know that the entire world is poised for swift, radical change. If you don't know that, that's what's going on. You never know from one second to the next what's going to be happening. Look at all the tornadoes and everything that's happening right now. And I forgot what's going on in Mississippi and those states. And they're on a watch, a 24-hour watch, you know, because of, is it a tornado that's supposed to come? Something's supposed to be happening there. And I was saying, you know, here we are, we're celebrating Christmas, decorating for Christmas. But those people in those states have to be watching their news constantly for fear that they're going to lose their homes. They won't have a Christmas. And, you know, the enemy likes to work in this time of the year to destroy the joy and the love and the peace. And so, you know, let's not take anything for granted. We have to know that any second of any day, the enemy could attack us like he's doing everybody else. It is imperative that the church embraces and fully receives a bold anointing. And God's been doing that to this church. He's been giving us boldness like we've never had before. This anointing will aid us in formulating preparations for influencing our culture. In other words, what I'm saying there is that what God is doing in us, he's going to take what he's doing in us and take it to the other people. And when he takes us to the other people, we teach them what we know. And we don't go to their level. We bring them up to God's level. All right? Don't even bring them to your level. Take him on up to God's level. We are to be a catalyst of extreme changes. In other words, people need to look at you and see the dramatic change in your life, and they're going to want what you received. Okay? We are to function as salt and light to a sin-darkened world. And God talks about salt and light in Matthew 5:13. The Spirit of God is calling forth dread champions. This is not a time for passive, non-committed Christianity. And this is what he was saying this morning. And if you really listen, you know, stop and think what he's been teaching us for quite some time now. Yet that we're going to be warriors, that the enemy's not going to want to touch us in any way, shape, or form, because he knows that he cannot take us down, but he knows that we can take him down. We are called to become the bold, passionate, and powerful end-time army that confronts compromise and raises the standard higher. In other words, we can no longer walk in any type of compromise. We have to start raising our standards higher than ever before. In this season, the Spirit of the Lord is releasing true confidence to stand strong. Let's look at Joshua 1:7-9. Battles will increase. However, do I have a page two? Sorry. It's sticking together. Okay, let us try this again. Joshua 1:7-9. Only be strong and very courageous. See that? You're going to be strong and very courageous. Why? That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. You know, God said, don't turn to the right or left. Why? Because he wants to prosper you. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. See that? That's why you need to read your word. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success if you follow God's word, if you have it hidden in your heart. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, this is a problem with the body of Christ. We do not understand that statement. It doesn't matter where you're at. You could be out there in the street where the gang's shooting or whatever's going on. But if you really know your Father and you understand the angelic host's job, they'll be posted around about you, keeping you safe. And you'll have no fear. That doesn't mean do something stupid. Just know that God is protecting you. The Spirit of the Lord is calling for the Lord's army to arise, taking hold of the kingdom with true spiritual power and force. Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. When I was first born again, this is the first scripture God ever gave me. Let's read it again. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. When John the Baptist rose on the scene, that's when the enemy started to tremble, because he knew the next step was Jesus. And he knew that because John the Baptist came on the scene, Jesus was going to come on the scene, and the kingdom of darkness was now in trouble. All right. You need to understand that battles will increase. However, the victories will be overwhelming. Now, this is the things I'm writing. We're going to read what the lady said in a minute. The body of Christ will begin to experience awesome breakthroughs in unity and restoration, resulting in displays of grace and power. God's been trying to get the body of Christ to walk in total and complete unity, right? And in your homes first. And when you get your home in order, then you'll have the power and authority to destroy the enemy outside of your home. You know, your home could just be you. You know, you get yourself in unity and get your house in peace, then you'll be able to defeat the enemy outside your home. These are exciting days of conquest and confrontation, of building and battling. There's a whole lot of things going on all at one time. Just not one thing, a whole lot of things. But, you know, you have to be in a place in God where you're at perfect peace with everything that you're going through. Doesn't matter what it is, because you know that your Father has us all planned out, and he's going to bring it to the end, no matter what you do or say. So let's just walk with him and go with it and see where he takes us. He's not going to lead you astray. The enemy is poised, doing all he can to stop this coming move of God. Now, do you understand that? The enemy is poised, trying to stop this coming move of God. You know, when I was first born again, God said, the enemy has asked to sift you as wheat. And he's told me, I have to do this. But he said, I'm going to be praying for you. So the same goes with every one of us. When the enemy asks to sift us as wheat, it makes us stronger as we go through that. Remember, I said one time, I think the sift had the smallest holes ever made in a sift. You know, sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? But it doesn't matter how small the holes are in the sifter. God is with you, and God is covering you, and you will come through that thing. Now, this is what I read this lady saw. She saw angelic warriors and their commander. She said, I was caught up in a vision that made me immensely happy. And let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 through 5 in the Message Bible. It's Paul speaking. He says, strength from weakness you have forced me to, strength from weakness is not part of the word, but he went from strength from weakness. If you're weak now, and if you follow God, he's going to make you strong. But if you don't follow God and you're trying to do it yourself, you're going to stay weak. It's only when you follow God that you become strong. Now, the word says, Paul says, you have forced me to talk this way, and I do it against my better judgment. But now that we're at it, I may as well bring up the matter of visions and revelations that God gave me. In other words, the people were just plaguing Paul, so he says, you're causing me to say what I'm saying. Some people, people might plague you, and they're causing you, God, to speak through you and say what he wants to say to them. He said, I may as well bring up the matter of visions and revelations that God gave me. For instance, I know a man who 14 years ago was seized by Christ and swept in ecstasy to the heights of heaven. And he's talking about himself. I really don't know if this took place in the body or out of the body or out of it. Only God knows. I also know that this man was hijacked into paradise. Again, whether in or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. There he heard the unspeakable spoken, but was forbidden to tell what he heard. This is a man I want to talk about, but about myself, I'm not saying another word apart from the humiliations. Now, one night God came to visit me, and I was had a bad marriage, and I was on my knees praying, and I was crying, so I crawled into bed, and all of a sudden a bright light came through my bedroom window. And a voice said, get out of bed and get on your knees. I did, because that was the most forceful voice I ever heard. And when I did, next thing I knew, I was above my house with an angel. And looking down, I could see down through the roof, and there my husband was sleeping. And there I was kneeling beside my bed, but I was up in heaven with the angel. And what happened after that, don't ask me, because I don't know. But he whisked me away, and where I went to, I don't know. So she says here, there I was caught up in the message of prayer, and I felt like I was dangling between two places. And you look at 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4, which we just read. And she said, I saw an army of angelic beings. Yes, they were massive in stature, and they were warriors. I don't usually see warring angels, but this was completely different. They were standing at attention as if a general was coming for his inspection of the troops. He was emerging, then snap. I heard the sound of oneness as they stood at attention. And if you've ever seen that, the soldiers click their feet together and then their shoes together. He was surely profoundly awesome. The atmosphere was charged. The focus was instantly on the commander coming toward them. He was magnificent in silver armor with a golden crown on top of his helmet. The crown had three colors of stones, rubies, sapphires, and pearls. Rubies equal blood, sapphires are revelation, and pearls are the price paid. He was wearing a blue tunic, which is grace, under his armor, and his feet were bare, which is humility. Somehow, this was right. I gazed at their swords, and on one side it said, Defender of the Gospel, and the other, Loyalty, Honor, Commitment. And it's talking about the double-edged sword of Hebrews 4:12. So what was it? I gazed at their swords. On one side it said, Defender of the Gospel, the other, Loyalty, Honor, and Commitment, which is a double-edged sword in Hebrews 4:12. The script was impeccably beautiful, and I noticed it changed in every language. The commander was now addressing them. He now had two guards next to him, one dressed in silver, which is redemption, robes, and the other dressed in gold, which is glory. Each guard had in their hands a scroll. The scrolls were opened, and he who was leading began to read aloud. His voice was thunderous and flowed like a fountain pouring over this army of warriors, like a wave off an ocean. Now we're going to talk about the defenders of the gospel, which are these angels that she saw. Aha, she said aloud. And then she repeated, then she quoted scripture, Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Instantly the sound of silence enveloped me. I was so afraid I had invaded a holy moment when suddenly I was standing next to the commander. He said, "Say it again." So I repeated the words again. This time I was not afraid. Then she repeated Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in and torments you like a flood, you know, he just brings all of hell all around about you. At that moment, God lifts up a standard, and God sends forth an angel to take care of you. And you have nothing to fear. Then I noticed that there were several leaders in the body of Christ, all present in front of me. They were of all denominations. I wasn't leading them. They were just there. We were all as one. I even knew some of them. See, God's trying to get us to be in one mind, one accord, not being jealous of one another, but working together. The commander turned and looked at each one of us and said, "Do you know this is what you are meant to do?" Each leader looked at the swords and the armor. Hands went out to touch this commander in reverence and respect. Everyone wanted to touch this commander. Each hand was touched back. And as it was, they drew their hands to their ears, making an allegiance to this commander. Then he turned and spoke vividly and confidently. "This army of warriors is being dispatched to assist you in this phase of your mission." And the reason why I'm doing this tonight is because of what God spoke to us this morning. God is sending us forth into a battle, but he's also sent the angels to go with us. We are not going out there naked. We're going to have the armor, but we're also going to have God's angels with us. They are the defenders of the gospel, and they will help you share the gospel with might and power and love. What to say? They are the defenders of the gospel, and they will help you share the gospel with might, power, and love. Not in weakness, but in holy boldness. You're going to go forth and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying generation. She said, each warrior has a breath of the Spirit upon them. The water that flowed as he spoke was the Spirit of the Lord covering them. Let's read that again. Each warrior has the breath of the Spirit upon them. The water that flowed as he spoke was the Spirit of the Lord covering them. They will stay as long as necessary. These angels will stay and fight with you until the end, until God says it's finished. Many of you already know, each of you leaders are being given a new assignment, and God's told that to some of you leaders. And each one of you are a leader. I'm giving you a new assignment. I'm putting you on a different path. And some of you are sort of disgruntled about that because you liked where you were at. You were comfortable and you knew which way to go. But now God said he's taken, you know, it's like an eagle. When he wants to get rid of his eaglets, he removes all the soft stuff and they get poked with the sticks that are in there and they fly away. And so God is making you uncomfortable now, so that you will go forth willingly to do what God's calling you for to do. All right, I said each of you leaders are being given a new assignment. Many of you already know what it is. I know what mine is. I finally found it out, and I'm not going to share it. So each one of you had to find out what yours is. Amen? His voice was soft and filled with passion. I felt my face burning with tears. And this is a question God's asking. Will you preach the gospel to the world and carry the lost into glory? Will you give favor to all mankind, renew hope, and heal the sick? You know, don't pick and choose. White, black, red, yellow, green, or blue. Will you give favor to all mankind, renew hope, and heal the sick? Feed the hungry and carry the bags of your friends, for many are tired. See, that's another problem in the body of Christ. We don't lift. We know that the leaders are weary, but we're not lifting their arms. We're really hoping they fall so you can take their position. I mean, that is going on. Many are hoping the leaders fall because they want your position. That's not of God. All right, then he said, I'm gifting you with this realm of the angelic. I'm gifting you with this realm of the angelic. I looked at the men and women who were standing with me. They were weeping from exhaustion, and they were being comforted by these words. Then God said, will you cherish each day with each other? For the days ahead are troubling, and the days that have passed are wearisome to so many. See, this is what we have to step into. Will you cherish each day with each other? Forget what happened yesterday. Don't think what might happen tomorrow. Cherish the moment that you're in. You enjoy each other. Because we never know when we're going to be separated. We just don't know that. Suddenly, all were embracing each other as if they were family. I, too, was holding my sister in my arms. We were all weeping from joy together. Our Lord was speaking. The warrior angels were all holding their swords above us as if to say, here they are. You know, here's God's army. He continued to speak. I'm gifting you with this realm of the angelic to assist you. Fear not, for I am with you. And soon, very soon, a shift will take place and many new leaders will arise. Love them, nurture them, let them soar, for the former and the latter reigns will now reign together. So, okay, all of us older guys that are in the church, we need to make room for the younger leaders that God's bringing in. And God said he isn't discarding us. He's going to use us to help the younger leaders rise up, because they're going to come in with a whole lot of questions, just like you and I did. And they need answers from spirit-filled leaders, not just anybody. There's nothing to be jealous of. There's too much work out there to do. And so what we need to do, you know, I was watching Tiana dance tonight. She's so anointed to do that. And I was thinking about Grace and Deborah. You know, they've been here forever. And, you know, they did such a good job of just welcoming Tiana into the group. And, you know, they were flagging, and she was dancing with all of her heart, and they were flagging with all their heart or whatever they were doing. And I just, and God said, look at the unity. And he said, and you have a mixture. I thought that was neat that he brought in Tiana to be the in-between you two white ones. And we're all working in unity. You know, we're all working in unity. And nobody's looking at anything except the anointing of God flowing in the house of God. Are you understanding this? You know, he could bring a drug addict in here and we didn't know it, but he cleaned them up while they were here and put them in the midst of us and use us. And we're supposed to gather them to our bosom and just let God use them any way he wants to use them. I think it's awesome. And I was telling a couple that for the first time in all the years I've been ministering, every time I prophesy to one of you, the Holy Spirit just consumed me. You know, you say, ooh, I feel the Holy Spirit. It just consumed me the whole time I was giving out the prophetic word to each person. And when I would give it to the person and quit, I wouldn't feel it. But then I start the next one, I've never had that before. I thought that was a wonderful experience myself. I even told somebody, you need to feel that you feel the Spirit. Well, no, they didn't need to feel the Spirit. That was my anointing for the moment. You see what I'm saying? So God is doing so many wonderful, beautiful things. And we just all need to just do this together. When I first started, we all did it together. And, you know, there was no little eye, no, you know, big eye. We were just all one big happy family, just wanting to see people walk in the miraculous and just watch God move. And that's what I've been praying. God, get us there again. And he's gotten us there. He's getting us there. You just don't understand how awesome you all are and how much power and authority God has placed in each one of you. You've been faithful. And now God's being faithful. All right, she said, then I saw another vision of the army. They were all over the world assisting leaders of the gospel in every country and using every language. It was wonderful. Each had a scribe assigned to them carrying a scroll and a quill. These new warriors were getting orders of assistance moment by moment. And what did God tell you this morning? It's very imperative that you hear his voice and heed his voice. And here it's, she says, these new warriors were getting orders of assistance moment by moment. Nothing to be held back was on the top of the scroll. Isn't that awesome? Nothing's going to be held back from us. We have all of heaven at our disposal. See, I'm a little jealous of you younger guys. You're going to, you know, we've already paved the way, you know, and now you're just going to step in there and get into the glory, you little snots. You know, you're just going to step right in. You've stepped right into the glory. I'm just teasing. But, you know, and that's what God's always told me, is that you're going to pave the way, and then they're just going to come in and just step right into that glory cloud. Aren't you glad you were one of those that was paving a way? Aren't you glad you were one of those that cried night after night and just wondered when the battle was over? Aren't you glad you did all that? I think you're lying. No, you're not. Come on. You paid the price, right? So other souls could be brought in. That's our job. Done lost my place, done all that. All right, I said on top of the scroll, nothing to be held back. Then this is a prayer she's praying. And you can look at it and pray it to yourself. Oh, Lord God, you are the Almighty One, the commander of everything eternal. Help me be sensitive to the assignment you have set before me. Help me be loving and kind. I felt my heart during this prayer become more forgiving than it had been in past times, a forgiveness I had not known before. She said, I wanted to be pleasing to our Father, as she prayed that prayer to herself. Each one of you should be feeling a change in your heart every day. The things you couldn't bear before, you can now bear. Because God has taken you through every sifting process he can possibly let you go through. And you've come through the furnace of affliction as pure gold. Amen. Now, here's another prayer. You can pray this as we read it. Dear Jesus, I am willing to receive what you have for me, large, small, or in between. Just allow me to do my part. I thank you for Holy Spirit in the angelic realm assigned across the world to assist us in our callings. I stand confident in you, my sovereign, that we will endure till the end. Now you're praying this, right? May all our hearts be glad and filled with love one for another and defend the gospel. I pray for the gospel to be shed abroad in us more clearly and filled with all the action you have for us in it. I pray those defenders of the faith, that realm of the Spirit, to come close and help us achieve your task. You're talking about the angels. I pray for strength, honor, loyalty, and commitment that was on the swords to be released. I pray for the loving word to be moving. I pray for joy to be full and grace to abound. Father, I pray all of you and all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, God is saying that your angels are on assignment to you. They've already been before the throne of grace. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. They've already been before the throne of grace. Your names have been given to the angels. and God has already instructed them what you have need of, how they are supposed to protect you. So what you need to understand that your angel knows you by name. He knows the battle that you're going to go through or the battle you're already battling, and he has come to assist you. God said the chains have been broken off of your feet, and you're no longer tethered, and you can go forth in God's might and in God's power to do the thing he's called you forth to do. The enemy is no longer going to sit on you. He's no longer going to bombard you because your assigned angel will not allow him to get near you. You can be at peace and you can feel very comfortable in the fact that I have your life all lined out. And I have already dictated to you what I'm going to do with you. And now I've already given the angels their assignments to assist you. Some of you have more than one angel because your assignments are stronger and harder than others. I've only given you the assignments I know that you can endure and work through. So as you look around to your brothers and your sisters, and you don't see them going through the strong battles that you are going through, do not get jealous or envious, and do not question me, because I know what you can endure. You have the strongest angels that I have in my heavenly realm, and they are there to fight your battles for you. There is a peace that I'm going to give you that passes all understanding. And that peace, the angel will make sure stays with you. And your angelic host will even sometimes appear to you and you will see him. And when he appears to you, he will bring you my direction straight from my throne room. And you will know, because it'll burn within your spirit, you will know that that angel has stood in my presence. Some of you have questioned my angelic host. Are they real or are they not real? I am going to show you that they are real, because you're going to have personal visitations from your angels. Some of you even have three angels. You have backup angels. You have whatever you need to fight the battle that lies before you. You need to understand that the higher your calling, the more angels I have sent for your assistance. You need to also understand that your angelic host will even sometimes come and sit and just laugh with you. They'll talk with you. They'll commune with you. They want you to feel comfortable with them. And they want you to understand that they are there for you and not against you. As you travel around this world, you will not only feel them, but I will allow you to witness them being by your side. Some of you will go to the nations, and you will need your angels to travel with you. And some of you, the angels are even going to take you, you know, whisk you away. So like you'll be here, but all of a sudden you'll be in another state. They will whisk you away in the spirit realm so you can complete your assignment you have to do there. I've called each one of you because of who you are and what you are and what you've already gone through. Some of you, the enemy tried to make you believe you're bastard children. In other words, God would never receive you ever again because you had sinned. Because I've washed all that away, and you stand perfect, cleansed in my eyes. You have been washed by the blood of my Son, and you no longer need to walk in the sin nature that you used to have. My angels are mighty to pull down the strongholds that are around about you. And when I send you to the nations, they will pull down the strongholds that are in that nation. In other words, if you go from here, let's say to Georgetown, whatever demonic influences in Georgetown, when you step your foot in that place, the angel steps in there with you and disperses the darkness that's there. Are you understanding what God is saying to you? And this is God talking to you, not me. I want you to fully understand tonight that my angels have been loosed already. Some of you have asked God to send angels to you, and God is saying the minute you asked, it was dispersed. They have been with you throughout all this time, but you could not believe that you really had an angel assigned to you. But now you're going to understand and you're going to know without a shadow of a doubt. This is angels. The angel or angels are with you at all times. God is saying, even as you lay in your bed at night, you're going to find yourself being awoken by the shaking of the angel as they walk into your bedroom. And the angel will come to you with a message from the Most High. And the angel will sometimes take some of you and whisk you to heaven, where you'll stand before me in my throne room, and I will give you your instructions personally. I am an on-time God, and this is a time that you need to understand angelic visitations, and this is a time that you need to understand that the angels are round about you. I saw one of you, and there's four angels around about you, and God's saying they need extra guards. And he's saying they're a little bit thick-headed. And so I have extra angels that are on guard duty while the others are doing the work. In other words, they're covering your back, so you'll never again be caught off guard in anything in any area of your life. Now, those who can believe, I've entrusted the lost souls into your hands. And those who believe are you guys who have come faithfully service after service when you really wanted to smack me a good one and never come back again. But you were faithful and you've proven to God that he can trust you. And you're the ones that now he has now put these precious souls in your hands. And he's going to send you now to bring in that harvest. And God's saying the daybreak is dawning and the work has begun. Now be about your Father's business and don't ever look back. And God is saying, God never slumbers nor sleeps. But as you slumber and as you sleep, I am doing a mighty works over you. I'm constantly working over you to change you and rearrange you into the mighty vessel of honor that I need you to become. You are my chosen generation, and you are the ones that I am going to work through from this point forward. And I'm also hearing God say, I feel the Holy Spirit right now, I have gifted you with many giftings and many talents, but I'm going to gift you with even more. You're going to need more talent than you have right now. And so he said, I'm getting ready to gift you with those things even this night. And you're going to find yourself, okay, if you couldn't sing, you're going to find yourself being able to sing. If you couldn't play an instrument, you're going to find yourself being able to play more than one instrument. You know, whatever it is, God has given you those giftings tonight. And really, I want you at the altar right now because I want this gifting to go into you right now.